Black heart, gold pants, 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 black podcast.
Aloha and welcome to episode 6 of Black Heart Gold Plankin. I mean, podcast. My name is Hawkeye State, joined as always by Kansas point guard Oops Pow Surprise.
Point Plankin, Hawkeye.
Oops Pow is point Plankin tonight. I have promised people that I'm going to use the word point Plankin as often as possible tonight, and I will find any way possible to fit in the conversation.
Hey, Hawkeye State, what did the real whale eat for real lunch?
Point Plankin?
Point Plankin.
Point Plankton. Nicely played. And we've already lost our two guests for the night. They've quit after hearing that joke. No, we're lucky tonight to be joined by 2/3 of the cast of City Boys Inc., Pennsylvania. None other than Run Up the Score and Kevin HD of Black Shoe Diaries. Gentlemen, what the fuck is going on?
Oh, it's very nice to be here, and I really think you should trademark Point Plankton like Pat Riley did for three-peat while you still can.
I think we will.
Well, I mean, was there an over-under for tonight, or are we just trying to put that in as many sentences as possible?
I'm completely up for gambling, and if you guys want to put an over-under on it, I guarantee I'm going over. We'll keep this call going as long as we need to in order for me to hit the over. You put it at like 147, I will fit Point Plankton in here that many times.
Well, point total is 40. Or we could just kind of do a competition, right? I guess first to 40 wins. And
first to 40 wins.
Let's turn the Black Card Gold Pants readers know.
Well, it's Iowa Penn State, so let's just say first to 6 wins.
Right.
And since we've already got like 5 for, you know, we'll give you guys a safety and we'll still win the game.
Gotcha.
I was so lucky. My brother actually got married on that date, so I missed the game. And that's the only time I think I've ever been happy about somebody scheduling a wedding on a Penn State football day. And God, we were getting updates in the church. We were it's 4-2. It's 6-2. It's 6-4. Nobody knew what the hell was going on. So glad I missed it.
I distinctly remember being in the second safety end zone, thinking, you know, as soon as they were comfortable with it. And if you remember, they were trying to kill clock with it. You know, it was like the extra 3 seconds.
Oh yeah.
That they ran into the corner of the end zone. And,
yeah. It was the first time in the history of college football that trading 3 seconds was worth 2 points.
And it was. And it turned out to be the absolutely right decision because Penn State's offense was just dog crap that year, along with a lot of those years back then.
Right. And, yeah, I mean, everyone knew it. When they took that, you know, everyone in the stadium knew exactly what was happening. We weren't going to be able to get 30 yards for a field goal. And so congratulations to you. Hey. The Iowa coaching staff for knowing that.
Well, you know, we do our homework, but, you know, speaking of crappy Penn State offenses, how are you guys doing this year?
You want to start?
Yeah, I might as well. I mean, it's hard to tell. They're just stubbornly running into 8-man fronts and not really doing much about it. They haven't shown anything. They're just sort of playing these boring pedestrian games that, you know, are ending with 31 points, 28 points, 31 points. And it's hard to see any emotion in this team so far. I mean, they certainly don't look like the number 4 team in the country. I mean, maybe a top 15, sure, but I mean, you can't tell me it's a top 5 team.
Yeah, I agree with that also. And I mean, the team looks as bored as I think we've kind of become after 3 weeks of this. So I don't know if it's just kind of getting off to a slow start, and there's really no killer instinct at all in the second half. I mean, some of the fundamentals look good. I don't think you find anyone that wasn't, you know, surprised with how good the receivers have turned out. That was kind of the big question with all the yards that our former receivers had, obviously. But that, you know, there's not really any. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the receivers have actually been a pleasant surprise, if anything. And even the secondary, I mean, they haven't exactly gone up against the most prolific passing offenses in the nation, but they certainly haven't embarrassed themselves out there. It's really been a question of whether the offensive line can establish a running game, and as we saw against Temple and Syracuse, whether they can pick up the blitzes. And I think if Iowa spends a lot of their time blitzing, they're going to have a good chance to get in Darryl Clark's face. And he has a tendency, you know, to throw a few stancy balls of his own if he gets pressure. So it could be interesting if Iowa can get to him.
We know nothing about your quarterback throwing the ball randomly to our safeties.
Nope.
I don't remember anything like that ever happening last year.
Yeah, I don't remember anything like that either, so that's good.
he's definitely made some of those kind of questionable throws, even without, you know, facing real nasty fronts. And the one thing we haven't seen at all that I'm actually kind of excited to see is him moving around the pocket, maybe some design runs. I think the coaches are terrified of having to put a true freshman backup in Kevin Newsom. So maybe they'll, you know, be willing to risk a little more.
And based on what I've seen of Kevin Newsom so far, I'm terrified too.
he was going to be the go-to guy at Michigan. So it's obviously their situation has worked out so far, but he definitely is rough around the edges, and he does look athletic. But yeah, there's nothing there right now that, you know, makes me think that if he took the team over on Saturday, that we'd do very well.
I've gonna be completely honest. I've watched literally like one quarter of Penn State so far this year. I caught like the first quarter of the Temple game on a replay. Has Newsom played significant minutes yet?
No.
Just no, garbage really, time.
He really hasn't played any significant minutes. I mean, he's thrown. I'm looking at the stats right now. He's thrown 6 passes all year. He's run for basically nothing. About 36 yards, and he's lost 23 yards. So he has 13 yards rushing and 32 yards passing. So as you can see, he's a vital cog in the spread HD here under Jay Paterno.
Well, with stats like that as a true freshman, he's up for Big Ten preseason offensive player of the year next year. Just ask Terrell Pryor how that goes.
No doubt.
Would you guys say that as Kevin Newsom goes, so goes Penn State?
I don't think there can be any question about that, Oops, pal. If Kevin Newsom gets in the game for anything other than Darryl Clark, unless Darryl Clark is, you know, somehow crippled, I'll be okay if he's in garbage time. But otherwise, I don't want him anywhere near the field. And God, I hope whatever design runs they have for Darryl Clark, and I do think there will be some. I think you'll see some read option. I think you'll see some quarterback draws in this game, especially as they get closer to the goal line. But if Darryl Clark gets knocked out, I mean, it's going to be up to the defense. It really is, and anything could happen at that point.
And, you know, he's got a history of concussions, and I think that's kind of where the major fear is. Obviously, you know, the chances of those are going to only increase, and you know, like Russ was saying, I mean, if anything happened, it would be just total disaster. Although, maybe to be fair, I guess since we've kind of been ragging on him, I mean, he has been dealing with, you know, receivers kind of 4 through 6 of a set of 6 brand new receivers.
Yeah, and second team offensive line, so that's fair.
Yeah. So, maybe if you plugged him into the first string, things would look different, but he definitely doesn't look very confident, and he hasn't earned his poise yet, that's for sure.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but when you talk about receivers 4 through 6, that does not include Graham Zug, who has officially jumped into your top 3. Is that right?
He has 12 catches so far this year, and I'll tell you, the guy, jokes aside about him, he always seems to get open, and he catches the ball when it's thrown at him. I mean, he has 12 catches. Chaz Powell has 12 catches, and Derek Moy has 13. He leads the team, so they're spreading the ball around. And even fake Joe Paterno's favorite tight end, Andrew Corliss, has come to play this year. He has 8 catches for 92 yards and had a really long touchdown called back on a penalty last week. So it seems that the lights finally turned on for him. And I know you guys have talked about the middle of Iowa's defense perhaps being a little soft, that's a guy you need to keep an eye on.
Yeah, that's what worries me more than anything else, because I can take the general spread HD stuff considering the tools on the outside, but, and I don't mean that in a derogatory sense, although I possibly could. but yeah, the game over the middle from what I'm seeing kind of worries me a little bit. The question I had for you guys more than anything else is, I keep hearing rumbling about how mediocre the running game has been, especially with the new offensive line. What's your opinion on what's going on there?
Well, I think the story, and you know, this is kind of wishful thinking, but you know, Evan Royster was a great back last year, and if these teams know that they're going in for a blowout and they're going to give him 7 yards of carry, it makes sense, I think, from a strategic standpoint to just try to take that away and, you know, hope that the new receivers can't hold on to the ball. So far, Penn State's kind of been lucky that hasn't happened. The receivers are pretty sure-handed, and they've been able to gain a lot of yards to the air, but there's still something about, you know, lining up fourth and one on the goal line, which happened, I guess that was that week one. I can't even keep the cupcake game straight anymore.
I think it was Syracuse.
Yeah, Syracuse. You know, just seeing them line up, they should be able to kind of push these teams aside and get 3 or 4 yards of carry, and they haven't been able to do that. So, you know, you can say they're stacking the box against us, but at the same time, I'm not sure that it's really that comforting to just kind of just rationalize it like that.
Right, and it's not only three new offensive linemen. I mean, there are three new starters, but there are also a starter from left guard last year that moved to center, and a starter from right tackle who moved to left tackle. So it's basically five guys playing a position as starters for the first time. And it's taken a little bit of time. They've already made one switch with Johnny Troutman coming at one of the guards instead of Matt Stankovic or Stankovic. And they were better against Temple, and Temple, I think, was the best defensive line they've faced so far. So there is some improvement there. It's an entirely different story with Iowa, though, even without your two defensive tackles from last year. It's a different level, and they need to be ready for it.
Can I just say that Johnny Troutman sounds like a bit character from Saved by the Bell?
He
rolled into town on a cloud of cocaine and fame. And you know, swept the kids of Bayside High under his wing, and then eventually they found out that his way of life wasn't the way to go.
Is he going to sing "I'm So Excited" like Jesse Spano did?
That was a different drug addiction.
That was over the counter. Okay, over the counter painkillers are just as lethal as the prescription ones. Just ask Jesse Spano or Rush Limbaugh.
What's the story with your injured guys out there? What's up with Bulaga and DJK and
they're
fragile guy?
They're fine, damn it. They're all fine. They're shut up. No, the actual answer is Bulaga's been declared out as far as I've seen the most recently. He still hasn't been cleared, although. Ference was talking that DJK and Moyaki may still have a shot to play. They might be close enough. But, you know, the way he does things, you know, if you don't practice, then odds are you're not going to play. I don't know whether that's just adjustments or freshness or a combination of however many factors. But apparently, according to his press conference from Tuesday, that they are sort of practicing, but they're not going full speed yet. So I think that if they get to going full speed by tomorrow or something close to it, then you might see them, but I don't think they're going to be close to 100 or close enough to 100% that they're going to be significantly better than the guys who are replacing them. So it whether they're actually in or not probably isn't going to matter.
Yeah, I think the great shock of the Iowa offensive injury explosion, I think is the only way you could possibly call it, the great shock of that has been that the backups, Reisner at tight end, Reif, however you want to call it, at tackle, and McNutt and Sandeman and Cheney at receiver, have all been completely capable. For the first time since... God, oops, I don't know, 03, we have enough depth at, you know, relatively serious positions like left tackle, tight end, receiver, that someone goes down and we can still kind of find someone to fill the gap and not see a real discernible difference in the talent. Usually the biggest problem for Iowa isn't finding 22 players to start. It's finding a full 44 to fill the depth chart. And that doesn't really seem to be the case this year.
I think in terms of Penn State, the one position that we can sort of get by with a lot of injuries is the one that's been hit, and that's the linebackers. Although Navarro Bowman seems to be coming back. Sean Lee, I mean, they're not really, they're calling it day-to-day, but I'm not buying it. I'm thinking he's out for this week. I think he'll dress. I think they'll have to sedate him to keep him off the field, but yeah. I just can't see it happening for him.
Well, he wasn't there last year. He doesn't have that much rage in his heart.
Oh, he does. That's a guy with rage to spare. I've heard stories about him even knocking out players in practice.
Man, you can't bring rage against Iowa. Our middle linebacker is named Angerer.
I know. He's angrier than angry. It's not fair.
Yes. He has an extra er.
Would Sean Lee be Angerer?
He could be Angerist or Angerist. I don't know. It goes into a field of grammar that I'm just not prepared to handle mentally right now.
Speaking of grammar not prepared to handle, point blanking. Okay.
Oh, you've been lax on that. You need to step up the pace on that.
I know. I'm just, you know, I'm trying to work. Hey, by the way, oops, pal. What would you call, if you were playing for Kansas basketball team, what would you call Ronnie Harmon in the A6 Rose Bowl? Point tanking.
Oh!
Okay. Oh! Sing.
Hey, what's your favorite Patrick Swayze God Rest His Soul movie?
Point Breaking.
Oh, shit. Yeah, that's right. It's Point Break. I thought it was Point Blank.
Breaking. But that's all right, because that combines both Kansas basketball grammar and Swayze. And Breakin', which is a great breakdancing movie.
Sure. Oh, okay. Say, Hawkeye State. What's your favorite John Cusack movie?
Gross Point Blankin'.
Booyah!
Yeah!
It's like a layup drill.
It really is.
We have guests?
Oh, God, that's right. You guys are still here. Shit.
No, don't. Please, continue.
No, we gotta get to... apparently you're secondary. I know nothing about them. I heard they might be young.
I don't think we know anything about them either.
Yeah, we definitely don't. If there's one thing we really know about them is that they work well with the linebackers. I know how many tackles did Sean Lee kind of have downfield where it looked like he was just kind of cleaning up messes. You know, they haven't really faced a quarterback who wasn't getting pressure who had, you know, athletic receivers. So I'm terrified. If you want me to be perfectly honest about what's going to happen in the passing game.
And quite frankly, I'm terrified of what's going to happen in general on Saturday night. I think the weather is not supposed to cooperate, sort of like it did last year. I know last year it was wind. They're talking about possibly significant rain up in Pennsylvania on a Saturday afternoon, Saturday night. That could have an effect on the crowd. It may, in fact, work in the visiting Iowa fans' favor, because there may be less incentive and less energy from the Penn State people to throw, I don't know, beer cans and beer bottles and beer kegs at them. So I think it can work out in Iowa's favor in all sorts of ways.
If it's raining, it seems that throwing beer would just be redundant.
Well, that's true.
Right.
You might as well just be filling up empty beer cans with piss and throwing them.
Now, can I ask you guys this? Did anybody really truly think about this before you scheduled this game? Because throwing a whiteout at Iowa essentially makes it a home game. I mean, you guys have seen our fan base. Nebraska looks at us and goes, wow, you guys are pretty, you know, white. So,
well, it's often been said, most famously by James Carville, that Pennsylvania is Philadelphia and Pittsburgh with Alabama in between. So it's home for everybody, I guess, in terms of that.
Essentially, like 107,000 guys dressed like powder. gonna be there.
But see, the rain is gonna totally screw that up because people will be wearing, or they'll revert to their usual Penn State colors before all this whiteout stuff started. Hunter orange,
right?
Whether it's a camo jacket or a poncho, so it'll be just like old times at Beaver Stadium.
And you know, if they would have ran with that instead of the whiteout thing, it would have picked up quicker, and then we wouldn't have to worry about, you know, a backup plan when the weather does what's going to happen on Saturday.
Now, have you guys ever done a Hunter Orange out?
I think informally, yes. I've been going to these games since I was five, and really there's never been any sort of coordination among fans or anything of that nature, really until the last, maybe the last 5 or 6 years. So they've at least found a way to get all of the crackers on the same page, but these aren't easy people to reason with or to make them follow directions. So we're all happy that, you know, we can at least color coordinate, even if we can't, you know, even if we can't keep the orange in the closet all the time.
But they seem to definitely be trying to make up for lost time with, I think we have a theme for just about every game. It's like a high school basketball game, you know, like posting that online with the tie-dye shirt, and, you know, wear your favorite jersey instead of, I guess, whatever your, you know, second or third favorite one that you save for Syracuse. So, you know, maybe eventually this will all wash out and we'll go back to, you know, wearing our hunting gear. But, you know, for now you guys are stuck with the white, I think.
Oh, and a Pennsylvania fact for you, since you were going through Arizona last week. Pennsylvania is first among the United States in numbers of licensed hunters.
Really?
There you go. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and you guys just added Kale Sanderson. So if you had a problem before, he's taken care of it, believe me.
Yeah.
That guy hunts deer with his teeth.
I don't doubt that for a second.
And then he drags them back to Tom Brands and asks for a treat. That's the first, by the way, that's the first ever Blackheart Gold podcast college wrestling throwdown right there.
And it was quite the zinger to
boom. It really was. Boom. Suck on that.
Burn.
Just how palpable is the anger right now for Iowa? I mean, clearly there was an issue with us beating you in football and ending your perfect season last year. And there's an issue with us inexplicably beating you in basketball and kicking you out of the NCAA tournament. So does the entire town just want to crush us?
It's weird because Iowa's been a part of a lot of weird moments in recent Penn State history. It's not only last year with the game that never happened, but also the 6-4 game with all the safeties. And even back in 2002, it was Joe Paterno chasing down noted Michigan Homer referee Dick Honig into the tunnel, which eventually led to what we have today as the college football replay system. So there have been a lot of weird sort of milestones in this Penn State-Iowa series. Unfortunately, we never win any of the damn games.
Well, you got that one when Morelli was quarterbacking you.
I don't think anything during those years really counts.
No. It's like, if Morelli beats a team, it counts as like 3 regular wins. So,
right.
I mean, you should be
essentially, you're 500.
Yeah.
That's true. If that adds 3 wins to us and adds 3 losses to you, this thing's pretty much even at this point.
Yeah.
I like that. The new math.
Exactly.
Morelli equals 3.
Well, you were talking about the Hunter Orange people. I went to a game, the Iowa-Arizona game this past weekend with my dad, and my dad, of course, shows up in his Tim DeWhite jersey. And
nice.
Yeah, it's great. Reebok, like back when Reebok actually made college football jerseys. It's fantastic.
Wow.
But
that's another guy I have bad memories of. That's 1996, I think, him running
yep.
through the raindrops
yep.
in Beaver Stadium, returning a punt.
Wally World.
Bastard. My father's going to be at the game with me this weekend. And I know Black Shoe Diaries, Mike's going to have a little tailgate for some people. And somehow I have to explain that I'm like a F-level internet celebrity in Penn State terms. So I have to, it's like the weirdest thing. I'm like, oh, I have to stop by the tailgate so internet people can call me by a name I use. And it's just,
yeah.
It's going to be this weird. I'm like, you know what, Dad? I'm just going to go take a crap for an hour and a half. I'll be back in a few hours. We'll be okay.
Well, that was we finally did that magazine, and And it was the same thing for me. I'm like, you know, I'm not really wild about, you know, combining my world. It was like that Seinfeld episode from 20 years ago, you know.
Exactly.
You kind of got your online thing, and now all of a sudden you're going to run into all these faces that, you know, have Nintendo 8-bit game characters as their
yeah.
Guy.
And as it turns out, we're just afraid of people in meaningful contact.
So was these was this the cougar post from earlier this week?
My favorite part about her is her arms are like 60 years old and her boobs are like 5.
Her boobs have a half-life.
Yeah.
Anyway, oh, we're talking about Hunter Orange. So we had the blackout Saturday on for the Arizona game, which is kind of hilarious in Iowa because no one really pays that much attention.
Really, they tried a blackout.
Yeah.
It was technically a blackout, but it was a 3 o'clock game and didn't really work very well. Anyway, I've been wearing
it's all,
the same.
It's all white people. I mean,
exactly.
Visually, that's just a mess.
Yeah,
they look,
yeah.
They look more like a skunk out.
It's like we hold that. Skunk out. We do that, and Ted Danson gets in trouble. Like that's what really happens when we do blackout Saturday. Anyway, so I've been wearing the same gold 1986 Rose Bowl T-shirt to every game since 2002.
Mm-hmm.
And we got seats on eBay. We didn't. We've had season tickets for a while, but we gave them up last season, and so. Weeks that my dad and I are going to get together to watch a game, we just buy them on eBay. And I walk up to my seats, and there's a guy wearing like a black T-shirt and a giant Hunter Orange vest. And he starts giving me shit about not showing up for the blackout. He's like, dude, it's a blackout. It's like, I can see you from a mile away, you fuck. What do you mean it's a blackout?
He's not going to get shot now.
We, of course. Well, not, you know, accidentally. So, all right, prediction time. Kevin, what do you think for this weekend?
You know, we run these things on Fridays, and I've been actually thinking about this the last 2 days. Last year, I could never really pull the trigger on you know, predicting a loss. The way the teams played, you know, it's the first kind of real game. I'm concerned about the secondary. You know, I'm with Russ. I'm not really buying the you know, there was a Daryl Clark quote about Lee coming back and he'll be ready to play unless you're going to chain him to the bench and all those, you know, very typical locker room kind of lines. I'm not really very, you know, excited about what the offense is going to do and if the defense can't, you know, shut down the first offense that they're going to be playing. You know, I'm going to go with a low scoring, Iowa win. I'll probably get, you know, booed off the site tomorrow, but I'm really not, you know, not very excited about them coming out. So let's say, you know, the other thing that we haven't really talked about at all is our kicking game. I mean, if this is kind of a wet field position game with, you know, cold weather and wind, our kickoff coverage has been pretty subpar and, you know, we've got Kevin Kelly kicked for us for 4 years, and you know, the very first kick of the year was just a complete shank. You know, I don't even know if it cleared the crossbar. There's a lot of kinks that, you know, we should have probably worked out before the Iowa game that we didn't. So my rambling will end, and I'll predict a 17-10 Iowa win.
Wow, I like you. I don't know why, but I like you.
I hate doing that. And here's the other thing is you know, I don't get to watch much TV during the week, but there's a television out where we're eating today, and something that didn't really dawn on me with this being the night game and the primetime game is the how many dozens of times they're going to show that wretched knee slide into the rain. We'll probably see that 30 or 40 times before the game, and by the end of it, you know, I'll be too afraid to even watch.
Believe me, if you go over to Blackheart Gold Pants tomorrow, you'll see it 30, 40 times. I mean, like, I'm going to put it on a loop. That's all it's going to show for this. It's going to be a loop and then this podcast underneath it.
With the keyboard cat playing underneath it.
Yes, exactly.
Just all the time.
And by the way, can I just state, like, for the record that you have no idea what sort of pride is going to be running through my body tomorrow when I hear this podcast and my voice being, like, after the theme song for the podcast. Well, you're showing off that Iowa rhythm that your state is so famous for, so you can only be commended for it.
Again, right. Whiteout every week.
It's really an underrated dance tune, this, that arc theme.
Sweeping the nation any moment now.
Exactly. Between every quarter, our marching band plays Tupac. There's not a whole lot to play, but they make it happen. Run up the score. What do you think?
Well, I can't take Iowa now. I mean, we'll have to shut the site down.
You can't be Mitch.
No,
we need a lopsided one from you.
I do think Penn State will win. I really do. The environment's going to be extremely, extremely loud. I know Kirk Ferentz said you were piping noise into practice the other day, but I don't think you can really prepare for the type of loud, drunken screaming that's going to just rain down on Iowa every time they try to snap the ball, and it's going to have an effect on them, especially if you have some linemen in there who aren't entirely sure of when the ball is being snapped, and it's an environment that you really can't put into words. So I'm going to take Penn State. You can tell that I'm not thrilled about it. There's no way Penn State covers. No way. But I do think they'll win the game by 4 or 6 points. I don't know. Let's call it 24-20 and just sort of cross the fingers and hope for the best.
Russ, I don't know if you heard or not, but we were piping in Danish soccer and Australian rules football. So if you, I mean, quite frankly, if you wanted to reenact the environment of 107 screaming Pennsylvanians, would it not be Danish soccer and Australian rules football?
It absolutely wouldn't. I remember the good old days back when I was a kid. I'm all 34 now. But that was the only thing. Australian rules football was the only thing ESPN could really afford to show. So I loved the shit out of that game. I really did. I wanted to find a way to play that somehow. But I'm sure that the sounds of the fans of the Geelong Catters or whoever the hell they are will help Iowa a little bit. But I really think that noise and emotion is going to carry the day. I think Penn State's in a lot of ways just kind of going through the motions in these first three games. And hopefully, you know, the defense hasn't generated many turnovers either. I think they've only forced 3 turnovers. That's got to change as well. We'll hope for 2 or 3 Stanzi balls, and hopefully Penn State will pull it out.
I'm probably going to go back and forth a little more on this. The way I'm seeing it right now, I think that the entire Penn State fan base is pulling a Joe Pa and severely underselling their own team. And like, you know, oh, we're going to lose. Oh, there's no way we're going to cover. And, you know, Joe Pa's like, even if we play our best, we might not win. And I mean, the fact of the matter is that Penn State has lost only 2 of its last 32 games at Happy Valley. They're both top 5 teams. Iowa is not a top 5 team. Riley Reif and Alan Reisner and Colin Sandeman. Yeah, they're nowhere near as good as the guys they replaced, and I think we just found that out in a bad way. I think that, I might change my mind before Friday or Saturday, but I have a sick feeling that about 3 first-quarter Stanzi balls are going to turn this game into about a 28-3 28-10 blowout. I'm tired of all this reverse juju from the Penn State fans. Like, oh, we're gonna lose. You almost had me going, guys. But
that's all we know.
Well, you know, I wouldn't have done this if it wasn't for last year. I mean, it was wasn't it the same kind of feeling? It was just like, you know, we were rolling. We were ranked once. I mean, you were unranked at the time then too, I think, right?
Yeah. Although I think we deserve it more this year than we did at that point last year. I have a bad feeling that Penn State's going to look a lot better. And everyone who was like, I can't believe why they put the line at 10 or 11 or whatever. I think that there's probably a lot of money to be made by taking Penn State as soon as the line drops below 8 or 9 points or wherever it's going to end up on Friday. I'm a fear-filled man, gentlemen, and I think that this could be ugly.
Well, I guess I'll take my shot. I can't believe that they would put the line at 11. I play off of other people.
All the time.
I've been completely short-selling Penn State all year. I loved them preseason last year. I loved them all the way last year. I love Daniel Murray now. But I've not been convinced they have the guns yet. They've played a schedule that would make Glenn Mason blush. I don't know anything about them at this point because I don't think they've played anybody who even approximates Iowa. And with that said, I've got this impending feeling of complete dread. Usually Iowa's first big road hiccup is almost always Iowa State, unless it's one of those really weird seasons where we got a really good team. Which is basically in the Ferentz era only 0-3. Like it's only been win there. And that game gives me a little bit of hope, but 54,000 illiterates in overalls does not quite simulate what you're going to get over there. I don't like Penn State's running game. I don't like their offense. I think Clark is overrated, and yet I don't like our running game. I don't like our offense. I think Stansy's overrated. And so I'll give it to the home team 17-10. I'm with Kevin only in reverse on this one. I don't think anybody runs the ball particularly well, and if it's going to be a sloppy mess, no one gets anything going on the ground. And I love the fact that I got in plus 11 earlier in the week.
It's good to hear. I mean, at least we're both picking out of the same off the same emotion. I mean, you sound like you've got some type of mythical doom, and mine is much more rooted in the past.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It feels like I've spent so much time kind of campaigning for what we've done so far and discounting what you guys have done so far to the point where I'm almost certain that karma's going to bite me in the ass. And so it's going to be Penn State, and I think it's going to be Penn State within the margin.
This is good. We all are not crazy about our own team. So we have, there's common ground here. There's common dread.
Well, that's why we like Penn State fans, because you guys are almost as cynical as we are.
See, and it's true, because I think we would get along with Iowa fans if you would just stop screwing us.
Oh, no. They're,
just a little help every once in a while would be nice. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I mean, I think if we can just exercise the demons this time, I'll be, knee sliding all over Washington, D.C. And then, if we really do blow out Iowa, which, God, I hope I'm wrong and hope OPS is right, but I don't think we'll pick against, I don't think we can even pick against Penn State the rest of the year with the way the schedule lines up. They really can blow out Iowa.
Exactly. We got, I think we sold like 2 Pwned State shirts. So if you see one of them, be sure to go up and say hi.
I am probably going to end up buying one myself. I'm just not going to have it this weekend.
Oh, don't do that to yourself.
It's just too funny. I have to own one, so.
Well, thanks again, guys, for being here. And for the next 4 days, go screw yourselves after that.
Yeah.
We're back on good terms.
That's completely fine. Suck it.
That ends episode 6. I'd like to thank Kevin HD and Run Up the Score of Black Shoe Diaries for joining us. Next week is Arkansas State. We plan on having former President Bill Clinton. Can't get him. We'll probably just sit around and make up history about Arkansas. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Don't forget the Black Heart Gold Tailgate for Michigan October 10th. Hawkeye State out.